You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 21st of September 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, today it is the autumnal equinox, 12 hours of light, 12 hours of darkness, something that used to be observed in more ancient times when we were more tied closely to the land than we are now. It's the sort of time of year when you should be getting your fruits in and the harvest in. And of course, Patriotic Alternative are taking part in the Harvest Festival this year, donating goods to the needy and those among us who are less well off. I think that's likely to be happening next weekend or sometime soon anyway. So we've got that to look forward to. But today I want to get into something that I saw happening last week, and it refers to a news story that I was talking about last year. I was particularly pleased to see that the courts had decided that they were going to ban the NHS from prescribing puberty blockers to children. And I did a Daily Nationalist on this. It's in the Trans Trilogy section. It's called Puberty Blockers Banned for Gender Dysphoric Children. And essentially they were saying that the courts would have to decide if a child was to be given puberty blockers because they couldn't consent to doing something like this, because it led on to further interventions such as surgery and being left infertile. And how can children make decisions about to do with sex anyway before they've actually gone through puberty? They're not going to understand these things. It's impossible for them to understand these things. So I think the courts were right to ban these puberty blockers. Well, unfortunately, that ruling has now been overturned. The Court of Appeal has overturned a controversial ruling that found those under 16 were unable to give informed consent to receive hormone-blocking drugs that can delay the onset of puberty. Bear in mind, under the age of 18, you can't drink, you can't get married without your parents' consent. You can't even have sex until the age of 16, and yet apparently you can consent to taking drugs which will block you from actually having puberty, so that you can then take the opposite sex's hormones, something that has never been tried before in history that we are aware of. We don't know what the long-term effects of that are. And this course of action leads to people being infertile, people being unable to enjoy sex, and most of the time it leads on to them mutilating their bodies by having surgery so that they can approximate the genitalia of the opposite sex. And of course, once they have gone that far, they realize that they still have a different bone structure. There are still all sorts of other differences like hand size, feet size, that they can't actually change. And they realize that in actual fact, what they have done is it completely messed their bodies up. And in a lot of cases, then they end up going on to commit suicide. So the point of banning these puberty blockers was basically to prevent people from being put on that pathway until they were of a sufficient age to understand all of that. How can you understand not enjoying sex before you've actually had sex? It's just not comprehensible. You don't understand these things until you've actually been through puberty. which is why these things should not be given to children. If somebody is over the age of 18 and they wish to take the opposite sex's hormones because they think that that will help with gender dysphoria, then that's an informed decision. But to be doing this to children at the age of 10 is horrific. And these doctors that are doing this, they're supposed to be looking out for the health of the patient, but they don't tell the patient these things because under the law, they're supposed to reaffirm whatever gender the patient presents as. So if the patient says, well, I think I'm a little girl, the doctors have to pretend that they are a little girl and they can't try to talk them out of this. And this is the issue here. And this is the reason why this girl actually took them to court, because she says that she was not given these other options. Nobody tried to talk her out of this. And of course, now she regrets what she has done to her body. And now the Court of Appeal have overturned this. And they don't actually make reference to the reasons why it was banned in the first place, surprisingly enough. The success of the bid means that doctors can now determine whether or not to prescribe puberty blockers to young patients with gender dysphoria, the sense of unease that a person may experience due to a mismatch between their biological sex and their gender identity. But of course, that's not what is actually going to go on here. It's not going to be doctors determining whether they are mature enough to do this, because under the law, doctors have to reaffirm the gender that somebody presents as, whether they're a child or whether they are an adult. So they're being very disingenuous with the way that they actually report this. And this is coming from the Independent. The appeal overturned a 2020 High Court ruling which found it was highly unlikely that children under the age of 13 could consent to a hormone-blocking treatment that delays puberty. Exactly. How can anybody consent to blocking puberty before they've actually been through puberty? Because they don't understand what it actually is that they're blocking, because they haven't had the increase in hormones that you get during puberty, which cause changes in your way of thinking as well as causing physical changes. And what the court were really concerned about was the fact that this was basically the start of a pathway that led to physical modifications to the body. Once you've gone through these puberty blockers, that there really isn't much chance of you being able to turn back and go back and have a normal life. If you've blocked your puberty and you've started taking the opposite sex's hormones, then you're going to end up infertile, and you've actually gone on to a course of action which is going to start making you look cosmetically similar to the other sex. And there's really sort of no going back from that. Once they have started on that, people do try to go back from that, and of course they end up with messed up bodies, and the ones that actually go through this end up with messed up bodies as well, because they end up mutilating themselves in this futile attempt to change their body so that it looks like the other sex's body. And that's just not possible to do. You can modify small parts of it, but you cannot, as I say, you cannot change the bone structure, hand size, feet size, hips, all sorts of things cannot actually be changed. So people will always be able to tell that the person that is actually presenting as a female is in actual fact a biological male. And this is what causes them to have this depression, because they realize that they've been told all this time that they could change, and it's possible for a man to change into a woman or a woman to be changed into a man, and it's not actually possible. And when you're talking about children in this way, children will believe whatever they're told by the grown-ups. They don't have the cynicism or the ability to investigate things that we have as adults once we have been through puberty. That's why you have to be an adult to consent to all sorts of things that you do as an adult. And it's just scandalous that they are doing this to children and claiming that it's the children themselves that are actually giving consent to do this, because they cannot give consent at that age. The appeal was launched in June by the Tavistock and Portman NHS Trust, which runs the UK's only gender identity development service for children. In the ruling, the Court of Appeal found that the guidance issued by the High Court was inappropriate and determined that doctors should be able to use their expert judgment to decide whether their patients can properly consent. And of course, as I pointed out, they can't do that, though, because they have to reaffirm the gender that somebody presents to them as, whether they are a child or an adult. And this is why they don't say to them, well, you could have autism, you could have body dysmorphia, you could be bipolar, it could be anorexia, it could be bulimia, it could be an eating disorder, it could be all sorts of other things rather than gender dysphoria. And we have seen a massive increase in the number of children that are supposedly presenting with gender dysphoria, and the majority of them actually have autism. And it could just be that their autism is being misdiagnosed. But if anybody dares to point out, well, it looks more like autism to me, then, of course, you're not reaffirming the gender that they are presenting as, are you? And therefore, they can then go after you with the law. And these activists that are involved with this, these transgender activists, that is what they do. This is why, why this appeal has been heard, because the activist groups have been heavily involved in this appeal. The Lord Chief Justice, Lord Burnett, alongside Sir Geoffrey Voss and Lady Justice King, ruled the court was not in a position to generalise about the capability of persons of different ages to understand what is necessary for them to be competent to consent to the administration of puberty blockers. Well, I would say, in order for them to be able to consent to something like that, they would have to have been through puberty. They would have to know what puberty actually does to the body. They would have to have experienced it in order to be able to give informed consent to it. This is why, if they want to take the opposite sex's hormones, it should be after they have actually been through puberty. Once they understand what sexual feelings are. You cannot just explain these things to a child and expect them to understand, expect them to be able to give consent to a course of action which is going to be affecting them for the rest of their life, that's actually going to change the shape of their body. And I mean, we know that, or we used to know, that a lot of these girls that behave like tomboys, once they go through puberty, they become sexually attracted to boys, and they're quite happy being girls, and they wish to be as feminine as they can possibly be. And it just turns out to be a phase. And what happens if that is what's going on with these children that they're trying to tell us are actually transgenders, and what they're actually going through is a phase? And then the people that should be looking out for their best interests, the people that they should be able to trust and rely on, they are the very ones that have messed their bodies up by giving them these puberty blockers. The High Court's ruling placed patients, parents, and clinicians in a very difficult position, the judges said. The original case was brought by two women, Kira Bell, a 24-year-old woman who began taking a hormone-blocking treatment when she was 16 and later detransitioned, and Mrs. A, the mother of an autistic teenage girl who is currently on the waiting list for treatment. So you've got the one person there who decided that she was not transgender, and the doctors should have pointed out that there were likely other reasons for her dysphoria. And the other case here is of an autistic girl, because the majority of these people that are claiming to be transgender, they also have autism. Miss Bell received her hormone treatment from the Tavistock Gender Identity Development Service, and she previously told the BBC that she felt she should have been challenged more about her decision to transition. I should have been challenged on the proposals or the claims that I was making for myself, she said. I think that would have made a big difference if I was just challenged on the things I was saying. And I think she only had something like two interviews before she was put onto these puberty blockers, and nobody suggested to her that it could be any other another issue. They straight away were saying, oh yes, you must really be a boy that's been born into a girl's body. During the two-day appeal, the NHS Trust's lawyers argued that the High Court's ruling was inconsistent with the long-standing concept that teenagers and children may be able to consent to their own medical treatment. This line of thinking follows a 1980s appeal over access to birth control pills for those under 16 years of age. But again, this is a different situation, isn't it? This is giving consent to actually switch off a part of the body, a process that the body goes through, which they are not going to understand what the end result of that process is, because they haven't actually been through it. And also the point that the judges were making was that when people go through this course of action, it's not like at the end of it, they can just switch it off and then go through a normal puberty. They've literally messed their bodies up. They cannot actually go back once they have set themselves on this course of action. And the course of action ends up with further medical interventions for the rest of their life. And it's not possible to explain these things to a child. So it's not that the ruling was inconsistent. I think the ruling was consistent. Obviously, teenagers and children may be able to consent to some things that you can explain to them. They can understand things like pain and whether they're going to go through pain if they have a certain medical treatment. They can understand about getting pregnant or not getting pregnant. But to understand sexual feelings and to be able to give consent to being infertile and not enjoying sex, you cannot do that as a child because you have no experience of what is being explained to you. Jeremy Higham, QC, representing Miss Bell and Mrs. A in the appeal, argued that policies and procedures at the Tavistock and Portman NHS Foundation Trust failed to ensure or were insufficient to ensure that proper consent was being given by children who commenced on puberty blockers. And I would agree with that. I think that it's a complete failure in our responsibility to look after the weakest members of our society to put them on this course of action. I'm so ashamed that this court allowed this appeal, and I was so pleased last year to hear that they had actually banned these blockers, and there were other countries around the world looked to this and said, well, this is great, we can stop doing this now as well. And of course all that's now being overturned. The court heard that the Tavistock and Portman NHS Foundation Trust does not itself provide puberty blockers, but refers patients to the University College London Hospitals Trust and the Leeds Teaching Hospitals Trust, who then directly prescribe the hormone-blocking treatments. Within the appeal, John McKendrick, QC of the University College London Hospitals and Leeds Teaching Hospitals NHS Trusts, told the court that the median age for consent to puberty blockers among young people was 14.6 years old for those attending the London Trust and 15.9 years old for Leeds. And that's the median age. So that's sort of getting closer to the age when people are actually going to be going through puberty. But that goes down to like 10 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old. People, or usually single mothers, are bringing their children in at a younger and a younger age and saying that they think they're transgender. I saw a meme, which I might actually put as the image to go with the podcast today, of all these celebrity mothers. And just by coincidence, they all happen to have children that they claim are transgender. I mean, it's now a fashionable thing to have a transgender child. It just feels so terrible for the children of today, the world that we have created for them and the world in which they are being brought up in. It must be so confusing for them. Liberty, the human rights group which intervened in the appeal, welcomed the court's decision. So you have this activist group that's been involved here. You probably have Mermaids that have been involved here. Mermaids is the activist group that goes around the schools telling the schools that boys can be born in girls' bodies and coming out with all sorts of bunk science, basically, and saying that all of this has been proved by science when it hasn't been. And if anybody stands up and questions what they're actually saying, then the school gets rid of them and accuses them of hate speech. We've covered quite a few news articles that have concerned mermaids, this group going around the schools that claim to be a charity, and really they're an activist group. It's probably similar to Hope Not Hate. They also claim to be a charity, while in actual fact they are activists intent on silencing anybody who has a different point of view. Director Gracie Bradley said this ruling is a positive step forward for trans rights in the UK and around the world. Well, I would say it isn't. I would say it's a step backwards for children's rights, a child's right to grow up in a healthy body in the way that nature intended for the child's body to grow up. And is this a step forward for trans rights? Because transgenders or transsexuals are adults, and nobody should be a transsexual or a transgender until they're over the age of 18 and they can make the decision that they wish to live as the opposite sex. So what they're doing here, though, is interfering with a child's rights. So it's not a step forward for trans rights unless they're saying that adult transsexuals have a right to force their ideology onto children. And this comes out with this idea that it's a step forwards for homosexual rights, to promote homosexuality to children. Well, again, why should it be a right for homosexuals to propagandize children into homosexuality? Why should it be their right to preach to children about homosexuality when children are unable to understand that and to process that at that age? It's the same as this transsexual thing. You end up with parents saying that their child is homosexual, and for somebody to be homosexual, they have to be engaging in homosexual acts. That's what makes one a homosexual, is if you carry out homosexual acts. If a child is claimed to be a homosexual, therefore, that child must have been abused somewhere along the line. For him to have, or her to have, experience of homosexual acts when they're a child means that they've been having sex before the age of consent. So obviously they've been abused, and there's somebody there that has abused them. That's always been what the word homosexual means, and yet we're now sort of changing this, and people seem to think that if somebody is just a bit effeminate, or if they're female and they're a bit masculine, then they should be promoted to the world as if they are homosexual and encouraged to believe that they are homosexual. So, of course, we've had this big increase in the numbers of children that are claiming to be that way, as well as this big increase in children that are claiming to be transgender. And also part of this, I think, is the number of hormone disruptors that we have in the environment. And also all the estrogen that we have around us and in the water supply, and the plastics that also mess around with your endocrine system. So we actually have things in the environment that are messing us up. We have lower testosterone levels. We have our sperm rates have halved in the last 40 years, and our testosterone levels have dropped by 20%. In the last 20 years. And on top of that, they're then promoting all this gender confusion and homosexuality in the schools, whereas in actual fact, they should be doing their best to reaffirm what gender people are, so that they don't get gender dysphoria, so that they're happy in their body. And also, we should be trying to do something about these fertility rates and the loss in testosterone, which is causing men to be confused about what gender they are, and it will also confuse people in their way of thinking. All sorts of things are tied to having a correct balance of hormones in the body. This director, Gracie Bradley, from the Liberty Human Rights Group, she says, as the court has recognised, trans children should be able to choose and receive the healthcare they need on the same basis as all other children. Well, they can. They already could. They already had the same rights as all other children. It's just that they were seen as not being able to consent to not go through puberty, which is what everybody else goes through, because of the end results of doing that. How can a child give consent to the end result of being infertile and not enjoying sex when they have no experience of what sex is? And also, when you're a child, things that are some way off into the future, it's like they're never going to happen. Time moves very, very slowly when you're a child, and it speeds up as you get older. So to think that they can make these life-changing decisions is scandalous. The people that are saying that the children can make these decisions, there's no way they would have been able to make a decision like that when they were a child. I think one of the problems we have today is instead of looking at children as children and innocent children, we look at them as just being small people. I mean, there is a push to allow children to consent to sex as well, and that comes under the rights of the child. They're already talking that children should have a right to see pornography. Children should have a right to be able to consent to sex with somebody older than them. And of course, that's rape, basically. It's abuse for an adult to have sex with a child, because a child cannot consent to sex with an adult. That is rape. And all these things are being pushed for under the guise of being progressive. And we've forgotten that children are different to grown-ups. They're completely different. They're innocent children. They're innocent because they have not gone through puberty yet. And that's why they cannot consent to doing things like this. Director Gracie Bradley continues, "This case has implications for trans children, not just in the UK, but also all over the world. Other countries had already started using the UK ruling to restrict trans rights, and now they must take note of this judgment too." And that's the really sad thing about this, because a lot of people all around the world were so pleased when they heard this judgment, because it meant that their medical industries were going to take notice of it as well, and they were going to also try and put a stop to this this hideous malformation of a child's growth. Well, I've got another news story that I just want to try and fit in here, which is related. It is also to do with the NHS. NHS Diversity Sar Prerana Issar gets paid more than the Prime Minister. The NHS has defended paying its head of diversity more than its own CEO and even the Prime Minister. She pockets a salary of up to £235,000 a year, according to NHS England 2019 to 2020 accounts. So she gets £250,000 a year, the Diversity Sar at the NHS. The sum is equivalent to the salaries of 9 newly qualified nurses or the cost of 20 hip replacement operations. But incredibly, it is also £35,000 more than the former NHSE boss, Lord Stephen's, pay, and much higher than Boris Johnson's £157,000 a year wages. So she's actually getting more than the boss of the NHS. Miss Issar was headhunted to become the NHS's first chief people officer after more than 15 years at consumer goods giant Unilever and 6 years at the United Nations. So what does she know about medicine? What does she know about health? She doesn't. She knows about consumer goods, basically, because she's worked at Unilever, and she's a good communist because she's worked at the United Nations. Well, let's have a quick look at what she actually does. She heads up the NHS's People's Directorate, with two directors of equality and inclusion reporting to her. And one of Miss Issar's chief diversity aims is to increase the number of non-white staff in NHS senior roles. So her job is basically to replace white medical staff with non-white medical staff. And for that, she gets paid £250,000 a year. Lord Stevens, that's the actual head of the NHS, set a target that ethnic minorities should take 19% of NHS positions by 2025. And of course, ethnic minorities make up about 15% of the population. According to the last census, we have yet to see the new census results. So he's actually expecting them to take up more of a position than their percentage of the population. An NHS spokesman said Miss Issar's role was to help ensure the NHS has enough staff with the right skills to deliver the improvements needed for the workforce and patients set out in the long-term plan. So just what skills is it that non-whites are going to have that whites don't? Surely it's the same qualifications that they have both done. Are they saying that it's a skill in its own right to be non-white? Why is it that we are not employing people with the best qualifications? Why is it that we have done away with our meritocracy? Wherever it is that you look within society, you see that it is basically crumbling and breaking down. We are essentially attacking our youngest members of society, the weakest members of society, the innocent, by putting them on puberty blockers. And what we're doing throughout society is replacing ourselves with peoples from other societies and other cultures from around the world. We're basically committing suicide as a people, and we're basically destroying our own civilization. And this is not the first time that this has happened. It's happened over and over again throughout history. But there's nowhere to run this time. As I pointed out the other week, hopefully, maybe the East will carry the torch forward. They don't have puberty blockers for children in Russia. They don't have promotion of homosexuality to children in Russia and the East, Poland, Hungary, and they certainly don't have diversity SARS and go on a big drive to replace as many Russian people as they can with non-whites. So at least there is some hope there in the East, but we need to turn things around here in the West. We really don't want everything that we have built, everything that we spent the last 2,000 years building, collapsing. Not if we can help it, anyway. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.